Well, my name is John Kelsey, and I'm on staff at the University of Oklahoma in Norman. And this workshop is about dorm ministry. Glad you guys are here. I need to warn you, I'm one of these people that I have like five or six file folders full of stuff. In some ways, I like this because I love to talk about what some principles are and some really neat things God is doing. At the same time, I hate it because there's so much information in so little time. And I love information. I'm an information junkie. I figure if I can just continue to build and build and build and build my database, my files, then, I don't know, it just really helps me a lot because I get questions, things come up. I can go back and see how other people have done things, other people's approaches and perspective. That just helps me. I like to synthesize information. I like to get a bunch of stuff and kind of put it together and manipulate it and tailor fit it to what we're trying to do at OU. So that's my approach. So it might seem a little scattered at times. That's okay. But what I want to do is try to give you all just a lot of information, brainstorm. I want to hear from you all. And maybe at the end, if you want, we can make arrangements where I can get you some information so that hopefully you can go back to your campus and in your context, wherever you are, and have an effective dorm ministry. I want you to understand up front, before we pray, I need to make a disclaimer. There are no perfect methods. There is not a formula for dorm ministry that I can write up here on the board, you know, in a flow chart or as an equation, and you just copy that down and take it back to your campus and it works. And so if that's what you came for, you will be sadly mistaken and disappointed. And I think that's very dangerous, especially in campus ministry, because we do a lot of very practical, very methodological kind of things. We're always looking for a new method or a new spin to accomplish our ministry. And we get caught up in trying to copy what somebody else is doing, and we have this cookie-cutter approach on how we do ministry on our college campuses. And it doesn't work. Demographic, we've got people here from the Bible Belt, we've got people from the East Coast, we've got people from up north, and very different cultures in Boulder, Colorado, I've been there, versus Norman, Oklahoma. You have a very active, a very, very powerful counterculture in Boulder, don't you? I mean, that's not an exaggeration at all. Whereas, you know, maybe in Norman or at, you know, UCO, things look a little differently. So the things I'm talking about are going to be mainly principle-based, which I believe will translate to any situation. Towards the end, as we talk about very practical, very methodological, as far as methods go, I'll talk to you about some things we're doing, but you need to understand that's really up for you to decide as to what works for you. Well, why don't we pray? And I saw a pitch. Jared, would you mind praying for us? And we'll get started. I hate to stand still, so bear with me. I like to move around a little bit. Dorm ministry, I don't know if maybe you're here because you want to be. Maybe this was the closest one to the escalator. You know, I'm not sure. It's okay. You don't have to tell me. I'll just believe you're here because you really want to hear from me. On the statement on the handout, it said if you want to double your ministry, really invest in the dorms. That wasn't just some kind of a hook to try to get a reaction. It's true. If you want to double your campus ministry, I'm telling you, invest in the dorms. I'm a little curious here. How many would you maybe consider yourself a commuter campus where you have a dorm, but not a lot of people live there? People, you know, they drive to class, and then when they get down to class, they drive back home or go to work. Is that some of you all? Okay. You all have dorms? Even though it is a commuter campus? Okay. The others of you, are you residential campuses? You know, more traditional in that you have people that live in the dorms, maybe several thousand at a time? Okay. Now granted, this is where that cookie cutter disclaimer comes in. You know, it's not a perfect fit. You can't come from a traditional college setting doing a traditional dorm ministry and then go to a commuter campus or even a junior college and expect the exact same approach to work. But the principles, I really believe firmly, work. I was out in Las Vegas, I guess, about a year ago, and they've got one dorm. It's a University of Nevada, Las Vegas, okay, UNLV, the Running Rebels. And, you know, they have an entire school on their college campus dedicated to the gaming industry. They teach you how to deal, you know, blackjack and run slot machines. I mean, that's a very big part of what's happening in Las Vegas and in Nevada, where gambling is legal. And so even in a very wild, you know, setting like Las Vegas, they have a dorm. And I was out there about a year and a half ago, and we were talking about ministry, and I really challenged them that even though this is a small dormitory and only about 1,000 students live there, I really challenged them to try to invest in, and break through the door and reach people in that dormitory. And the BSU, or the Baptist Collegiate Ministry out at UNLV, is small. You know, it's just a few dozen students. But they really tried to reach that dorm. And I keep in contact with them, and they've got like 20 or 30 students. Now it's over half of their ministry is from that one dormitory. It's a 20,000 member campus. Only 1,000 live in the dorms, but one half of their ministry is based in that one dorm. That's the power of reaching dorms. There's just something about it when you have students literally living on top of each other in one place, highly concentrated. You can spit and hit two people. If you can skip a rock, you can hit seven or eight. They're just all right there. And there's just a kind of an attitude, if you're thinking strategically, you can reach more students faster than almost any place else on campus. Now, does that mean that you don't reach commuters or Greeks? Well, no. You're trying to reach all of those different branches of student. But this one particular demographic, I'm telling you, can be extremely profitable, and you can see very quick results with a large number of students if you really get after it. So that's exciting. Because whether you like it or not, and you guys know as students, many of you, college is very transitory, isn't it? You know, about every year, of course, some of you all are taking 6 and 7 years to get through a four-year program, but about every year, you have like a quarter turnover in your ministry if you're a four-year school. If you come from a two-year school, it's conceivable you lose half of your ministry every year. Now, maybe you could say that's not right or it shouldn't be that way, but guess what? That is reality. So again, if you see the strategic nature of that dorm, if you got such a high level of turnover, so many students are coming through so quickly, then it makes sense to invest resources and manpower and prayer support and thinking very strategically and having a very, very well thought out plan to reach that dorms, because then you can reach more students faster, because you're losing a lot more students out the back door. So you got to bring a lot more in the front door. That's kind of the, this is the passion we have at OU. Now we have you've seen her up on stage, Andrea, one of the MCs. She works only with sororities, and she's having a phenomenal ministry. And we brought her on staff just to reach sorority girls. Okay? She has a phenomenal ministry. But honestly, over the last 37 years, the real backbone of our ministry has been the dorms. We are a residential campus. We have probably, I guess what, 6, 7 large dormitories. The dormitory that my wife and I are working in with our ministry team, we've got 1,500 students that live in one 12-story tower. I think there's about 900 or so that live where Jared is living, in Couch. I think the other major 12-story tower, Adams, has about 1,000 students. Then we've got several other dormitories that'll have 500 or 600 students. And so again, it's highly concentrated. Well, let's talk about some principles. What is it going to take? I found a marker board. This was not planned, but I got really excited when I walked in and saw this. I love marker boards. So you're going to have to just bear with me when I write on this sometimes. What is it going to take if you want to reach your dorm, wherever your context is, two-year, four-year, commuter, residential, what is it going to take practically? Let's just get down to nuts and bolts of how to reach that dormitory. What is it going to take? Talk to me. Okay. Time. Okay. Here's a principle. And I'm sure you heard this, you know, today with John Randall's and John Strapazon, that just the principle of time. You cannot train and disciple people if you only see them an hour a week. You're kidding yourself. Yeah, you'll get them through your program. and they'll graduate the course. But have you really invested in their life? You know, 1 Corinthians 11:1, when Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Do you think he did that just on a meeting once a week for an hour or an hour and a half? No. He literally gave his life. You look in the letter of Thessalonica, okay, 1 Thessalonians. That's a tremendous handbook on disciple making. He lived with them. He ate with them. He worked alongside of them. He shared struggles. Guys, if you want to reach, this is a principle, if you want to reach your dorm effectively, you got to give it time. And I heard someone else say, you got to live there. Who said that? You must have students in that dormitory. I've seen people try to have a dorm ministry without living in that dorm. Now, you might be able to reach a few students, but you are going to hamstring your effectiveness. You are not going to be effective in reaching that dorm for the long term unless your students, or you, hopefully, because you're here, pay a price to go move in that dorm. Now, at the University of Oklahoma, it might be a little different, but it is mandatory for all freshmen to live in the dorms their first year. The only exception would be if you live, you know, in Norman, or you have a very specific reason, and you get special clearance from the university to move out. Otherwise, every freshman at the University of Oklahoma lives in the dormitory. We have set enrollment records every year for the last 8 years. We had over, what, 4,200 or 4,300 new freshmen moving to dorms at the University of Oklahoma last August. Now, again, we're just talking kind of practically here. Some of you guys have lived in a dorm. Some of y'all have lived in dorms as freshmen. What's happening in a freshman dorm? What's the culture? Experimentation? Like with fire alarms at 3 a.m.?
Yeah.
Guys smoking pot and burning incense to cover it up down at the bottom of the hall? Right? When I was a freshman, we got three or four of these, we used to call them wet bananas, but I've been corrected. I guess now they're called slip and slides. And we had ran them from where the elevator got off on our floor all the way to the fire escape. We got a garden hose. We attached it to a faucet in the sink in one of the bathrooms. We had water running down this hose, down this slip and slide, all the way down the hall, and it was running down the fire escape outside. And you could get off the elevator, and you could run and slide about 60 feet down the hall in this river of water and wet plastic. Man, we had a great time until the OUPD came up and busted us. All right, that's what's happening in freshman dorms. Stupid people like me experimenting away from home for the first time. So, as she was saying, if you want to reach students, and let's be honest, the most of the people that live in dorms are usually three groups of people: freshmen that have to, right? Internationals that don't have any place else to live, or maybe that guy that really loves Dungeons and Dragons. You know, he doesn't have any place else to go, so he just stays in a dorm room all 4 years. Those are the kind of people, a lot of times, they're living in these dorms. And so here you are as a sophomore, junior, and you want to reach that dorm. You're going to be on a freshman floor. Now, you're in your major. You're taking your capstone. You're taking Calc 4. You've got to study. Let me tell you something. If you want to reach people, you're going to pay a price of your time. You're going to lay down your life to reach that dorm. Now, you can drive and park and go walk in that dormitory and try to reach students, but I'm telling you, you're not going to be as effective because you will always be an outsider. You are. We really challenge our students, and it's not one of those things that if you have to move out because of financial reasons, you know, that you're not as spiritual or that God's not doing things in your ministry, but we really challenge our students to commit 4 years in the dorms. Now, Jared, you're an upperclassman. Real quickly, why would that be important to commit 4 years in the dorms at OU? How does that help? Yeah, for your ministry over in Couch. That's right. We see that all the time. Guys like Jared will commit to live in the dorms 2 or 3 or 4 years, and these freshmen are like, okay, why is this sophomore and this junior on my floor? You're automatically a little different, okay? They might think a little weird at first, but that's okay. Because what we always tell our students in August, remember, you're cool and they're not. They're the freshmen. They don't know where to pay their bursar bill. They don't know where to pick up their athletic tickets. They don't know. They don't know where the cafeteria is. You do. You have the information. Okay? And you'd be surprised, within just a week or two, they're coming and asking you questions because the RA is never home. He's always running around. You're available. So immediately, you are a resource. And like John Randall's was talking about this morning, you're able to meet needs. Not necessarily throw the gospel in their face, but they get word their grandmother dies. Or you know what? Guess what? Statistically, a lot of parents will divorce once their children go to college. Because now they don't have to stay together anymore for the kids. Kids are out of the house. We see it all the time. This freshman, his mom and dad are going through divorce. Who is he going to? That upperclassman that he met on his hall, who helped him move in, who he knows there's something different about him. So you're automatically able to meet needs and encourage. And like Jared was saying, you're able to build relationships. And we're seeing this now more and more. There's this real desire, big letters here, for community. That is the buzzword for postmoderns. We desperately want community. So we're seeing these pagan, non-churched, very cool freshman guys who would have never dreamed about living in a dormitory more than just the 1 year they had to. And they're meeting guys like Jared on their floor. They're doing intramural sports with him. They're hanging out with him. They're going out to dinner with him. They're sharing their lives with him. And now these guys are saying, man, I got community here. There's people here that care about me. Hey, Jared, would it be cool like if I could be your suite mate next August? I heard that two of these guys are moving out. Could me and my other friend, could we move in? And so now our upperclassmen, and the way it is in the OU dorms, might be a little different. We have in most of the dorms, we'll have two rooms, we'll share a bathroom. Two rooms will share a bathroom. And so we call them a suite. So maybe here's Jared over here in one suite with Gary. And then we'll have two freshmen from last year, now two sophomores, will share a bathroom with them. And they met him the year before. Okay? That's what we're talking about, building meaningful community. I don't want to go into much detail on this because that's a whole nother seminar. I want to refer you, write this down, this is very important. Write down Brett, B-R-E-T-T, Yohn, Y-O-H-N. He's the director at the University of Nebraska Christian Challenge, also known as Baptist Collegiate Ministry. And they've designed a tremendous, very cutting-edge, very New Testament approach to building community through your ministry. They call them edge groups. At OU we call them encounter groups, but they're small groups. And I'm telling you what, you take what Brett and some of these guys up at Nebraska figured out about how to reach people and build community, particularly in a dorm setting, through these edge groups or these encounter groups, you can revolutionize your ministry. But I do not have the time, or really I can't say it as good as Brett does. So I'm going to get you all in the front door, and then you look at some of the things that guys like Brett are doing, and that'll take you further. Yes, Jim? Yes. Not offhand. Yeah, go ahead. Sure. UNL, University of Nebraska Lincoln .ChristianChallenge, all one word, .net. Go there. He's got resources. He explains the vision. That is the second step from what I'm talking about. Okay, let's keep on going. So you got to have time. You got to move in. You got to be with them. That's the principle. You notice that Strapazon touched on that this morning in Mark 3, the with them principle. Jesus modeled that. Paul modeled that. If you want to disciple people, if you want to reach people, you must be with them. What else is it going to take to reach that dormitory? Okay, like what? Okay. So, common interest. And again, I don't want to get hung up on what the common interests are. But if we have principles of time, we have principles of being available. Now, for lack of a better word, just there needs to be a principle of connecting. You've got to have a way to connect with these students. It's not going to be enough for you just to move in the dorm And to sit there in your room and expect freshmen just to come in and say, wow, can I hear the gospel and would you disciple me? That's not going to happen. So how do you connect? How do you get to that point? Well, again, start thinking, you know, what are the common interests? Well, everybody eats. Absolutely. And college students do it better than anybody. Right? Pizza is currency. Right? On college campus. So, think about it. You know, here's Preston. You know, he lives on Walker 7. You know, and he's thinking that's the dorm we work in, and he's on the 7th floor. And so he's like, okay, well, we got a cafeteria. If you live in the dorms, you're on a meal plan. Everybody eats. So, he invites guys to have dinner with him or lunch with him. He doesn't wait till October. But when they first move in, he gets to know them, he meets them, he introduces himself, and he invites them over to dinner. They all have dinner together. They got to eat anyway. Another thing is laundry. Even guys eventually have to do their laundry. Now, my roommate in college didn't. He stole my underwear, turned it inside out, and wore it, and then turned it right side back and put it back in my drawer. He thought, well, it's no big deal. I wore one side, you can wear the other. Okay? He's the exception. It took me about 3 days to figure out what was going on. I knew something wasn't right, but I didn't know what it was. He's my best friend today. God bless him. But got pretty tense there for a while. But even guys got to do laundry. You know, ladies. You know, Walmart. That's a pretty big deal. Especially those first few days that you're there. Those are opportunities that, you know, again, common ground. Be that guy. Be that girl where you're taking a group of people from your floor to Walmart to get stuff you need. We're all going and doing laundry together. Having a meal together. Okay? The idea is find ways to connect. I can't tell you what those ways are. You got to figure that out for yourself based on what the culture is. Intramurals is a big one that we would use. Even when I was a student, that was big. Guys loved to play intramural football and softball and basketball. So we were doing every kind of sport there was. I majored in intramurals my freshman year. That almost cost me some of my scholarships. But I tell you what, built some relationships with guys that would have never darkened the door of the BSU. They wouldn't have come to the BSU. But, man, found some guys that were pretty good ball players, and that was a start. Okay? What else? One other thing before I start jumping into some new stuff. But what are some things you think it's going to take to reach your dorm? Time, being available, connecting, finding common interest, what else? You're going to take a risk, particularly in a freshman dorm. There's a risk. Honestly, you're risking possibly not doing as well in a class. Because again, there's 3 a.m. fire alarms and they evacuate the whole building and it's finals week and you're cramming and you're outside, you know, in the freezing temperatures waiting for them to say it's all clear to go back inside. That might be a risk you take to reach people in your dorm. You got to be free with your stuff to loan out a DVD or, you know, let people play your PlayStation or your Xbox. You know, are you willing to take a risk to be generous and to meet people's needs? Or are you going to clutch and say, no, you can't have any of my stuff, or no, you can't borrow that, or no, I'm not available to you? For some people in our ministry, this level of risk is as simple as just leaving your door open. We have students that they really value their privacy. They like to be alone. It's really hard to have a ministry in the dorm if you like to be alone all the time. Why are you there? One of the best things you can do is just leave your dorm room open. And our students have even thought, they've taken a risk, but they looked at their dormitory and on their floors and they figured out the most strategic rooms are the ones located near the elevator, because everybody has to walk by their room to go to their room. So our students will intentionally request those rooms nearest the elevator. Why? Leave that door open, everybody has to walk by. That's a risk though. That takes time. You're going to be inconvenienced. Well, let me talk some thanks here real quickly, and we'll do some... Yes, of course, Tim. Yes and no, Tim. We do have students every year that'll be an RA. But at OU, being a state school, they're clamping down more and more each year. When we were in college, I had a good friend of mine that was an RA, and he could host a Bible study in his room. He couldn't lead it, but he could host it. Now, the RAs are being told, you cannot have any kind of connection. That's right. That's right. It could be. But it just depends. But we're really seeing that those doors are really being closed very quickly, and you can't breathe a word about your faith because you are, quote-unquote, an employee of the state, and that's the whole First Amendment, which I think is being twisted. But there's a fear there, and they'll be fired. So you need to be very careful about that. Now, some of our students do that because they get free room and board, and they need the financial help. So in that way, you have to minister in other ways, usually through counseling with students in a crisis, but it's much more on a more one-to-one level. And they have a difficult time identifying with the BSU. They got to be careful. But if your school is more open, you know, go for it. But understand this, you are an employee of the university, and that means you're going to be doing duty hours, you're going to be making rounds in the middle of the night, making sure, you know, girls aren't in the room. And so you got to do your job with excellence. It's not just a free room where you can hang out with students. They're going to have an expectation of you too. Okay? It's a great question. Well, where does it start? Let me give you some things very quickly. And we're supposed to be done at, what, 2:50? Is that right? Any of you schedule hounds? Okay. All right. I'm going to give you a few things here. And I'm going to talk to you in the context of, this is maybe late spring of 2004. So this is maybe April or March for you. If you want to have an effective dorm ministry, it really starts this spring. Because at OU, you've got to get signed up for your rooms early. And it never fails. Our room sign-up is right around spring break. So if you have a vision to reaching your dorm, you need to find out when the deadlines are, when the paperwork has to be in. You need to make sure that you're ready to go, and you're set, and all your paperwork is in to get moved in the dorm you want to be, and that you've requested the room and the floor you want. If you miss the deadline, now it's potluck, and you could be anywhere. Or, like at OU now, with this record enrollment, guess what? We don't have a room for you. You didn't make the deadline. You'd be thinking now. You'd be talking to, very carefully, who is your roommate going to be? It's extremely important. If you want to reach the dorms and you're going to move back in, you better find somebody of like heart. I do not recommend, especially starting out, having a non-Christian as your roommate. Okay? Because you're going to find that room is going to be a base of ministry. If you've got somebody there who doesn't know the Lord, or maybe they're extremely immature in their faith, very young Christian, you're going to have a tough time using that room unselfishly and taking risks to reach new students. You're going to be going head-to-head with your roommate about that. I would highly recommend you be praying about it, and guys, you find another guy or two or three or four of like heart, I'd say about the same basic level of spiritual maturity, and you all go in together and be roommates. I also highly recommend, do not spread out all over the dorm. As the ministry grows, there's an old saying we like to say, you grow into ministry. Okay? I think it's a mistake for five guys to get a vision and go to five different dorms on campus and live by themselves and try to reach people. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Yeah, they're separated. They're alone. Yeah, get discouraged. I would recommend, get one or two rooms, or even three or four rooms on one floor, honestly, to start out with. You have some momentum, you can encourage one another, and as the ministry grows, you can start moving to other floors. But grow into that. But see, these are all questions you're answering in the next 3 months. And you get all your paperwork in, and you start praying now. I'd recommend that you guys start praying every week. Meet together and start praying. And one of the things that we do, I'll pass one of these around. We make dorm maps. And my wife and I are working in Walker Tower. There's 12 floors, 1,500 students. And so that is a floor plan of one of the floors in Walker. And so we get all of our students a copy of this that live in Walker. And what they're able to do is they're able to pray literally over room numbers. Can you imagine the power of your faithfulness to pray on a daily basis, on a regular basis, over particular rooms on your floor? praying that God will bring lost people. Pray that God will bring people that have never heard the gospel in their entire life, never even stepped foot in the church. Pray that God will bring preachers' kids and MKs onto your floor. Pray that God will bring hungry believers that really want to grow. Ask for everything. And just see what God will do as you commit to pray. I'd recommend go over to your dorm where you want to move in and do a survey and actually do a diagram of your floor. Get those things printed up. And you can start figuring out who's in what room. You can start praying over rooms specifically. Again, that power of prayer starts now. You can't wait till August and begin praying, or you're going to be really defeated in your ministry. We also use these when we start recruiting and helping people move in that first week of school. Now, we don't put these on the outside of the doors. Okay, we're not really interested in telling all the freshmen what we're trying to do. It's none of their business right now. Okay? We're trying to meet people and build relationships. But our upperclassmen will have copies of these. As they're meeting people on their floor, they'll go back and write their names in for the appropriate room. Now they can pray for people by name. As they get more information, okay, well, he's a history major. Okay, well, she's from Kansas City. They fill that in. Now they can pray more intelligently. Okay, well, this guy's Catholic. Well, this guy's Southern Baptist. This guy's a fruitcake. I mean, he's weird. Well, this guy, he's made no bones about it. He's a homosexual. Well, we're seeing that a lot in our dorms, too. Some poor freshman from rural Oklahoma goes potluck, and his roommate's a homosexual. That's happening now. And the university didn't tell him. Because by law, they won't. Can you imagine? You're 18 and you pull up with your mom and dad, and, you know, these are things that are happening. And see, again, you got this information. You're able to get some of this stuff. You can be praying for the Holy Spirit to move in a phenomenal way. So map it out and begin praying. Get organized. April, didn't we, Jen? We went to New Mexico State University in Las Cruces. And we spent a few days with them trying to help them get off the ground a dorm ministry. It was tremendous. They had about 10 or 12 people, guys and girls. I mean, they were fire breathers. They want to sweat blood for Jesus in their dorm. They found this place. It's like a four-story commons dorm. They said, we got 12 people. We got it all figured out. We got like groups of four. They're going to live on each floor. And we're going to take this dorm. So we spent 2 days with them. We daydreamed. We talked about methods. We talked about principles. But the main thing was this. In April, they got a plan. I would recommend, as you're praying, as you're getting your paperwork in, you need to sit down with some other people that have a like heart. You need to get a plan on what you're going to do. And we planned out all sorts of stuff. Events. You know, these community groups. We really just spent time brainstorming and dreaming about what this will look like. If you wait till you get back to school in August, you're too busy trying to get your own stuff together. You're trying to get your posters on the wall. You don't have time to sit down and strategize and figure how we're going to reach our floor for Christ. You get those questions again answered this semester. You got to get on the ball and get to work, don't you? I want to stop for a second. Any questions real quick? Jen, you want to say something, honey? Okay. Well, I don't know. It's up to you, babe. And just to brag on my wife, when her and her roommate moved in there in 92, there were I'm counting zero girls from our ministry that lived in that dormitory of about 1,000 students. That's right. We had never had a women's ministry in the dormitory before. This last fall, we counted almost 30 girls from our ministry that live in that dormitory now. That would have been beyond our wildest dreams 10 years ago when we were in college. Yeah, absolutely. See, again, the power of just praying and laboring in prayer. Thanks, Jen. You got another one? What we found is now that they're able to have a ministry to the RAs. The RAs greatly appreciate. Because a lot of times, if you're a brand new RA just hired by the university and you're a sophomore, like Tim was asking about, you know where they stick you? On some of the toughest freshman floors on campus. They love our juniors and seniors that have been living on that floor for the last 3 or 4 years. They're coming to our guys with questions. They need help. I got this guy out of control. What do I do? And so our upperclassmen are now having a ministry to the RAs. And they're almost like second and third RAs in a lot of ways. But they're not a part of the establishment of the university. So they're safe. So our upperclassmen know things, and they have a way to speak into the lives of some of these men or these ladies, some of these women that the RAs can't do. Tremendous. Okay, that's the spring. Very quickly, spend just a couple minutes and then we're going to do some real good Q&A and brainstorming. Let's talk about August. Okay? I've got about 14 things. So get out your fast writing pen and your good hand and let's go. Number one, you need to view yourself, and as you're trying to recruit people to your ministry, you need to view yourself as a servant on your floor. A servant. It's going to be very difficult for sophomores, juniors, some of you guys are seniors, you're moving into a freshman dorm. What's the mentality? Hey, I've been here for 3 or 4 years. Yeah, you know, When do people start recognizing what a great guy I am? When do people start serving me? That is, if you have that mentality, move out of the dorms. Because you're going to really cripple the ministry rather than help it. View yourself as a servant. What does that mean? Well, helping people move in, picking up trash out in the hall, keeping your room clean, not defying the RA, you know, giving respect, being kind, being gracious. View yourself as a servant. Number two, you need to plan activities that include freshmen. So this is August. We have our students come back 2 weeks early sometimes. For sure a week early. And we have a retreat, and we brainstorm, and we talk about strategy. And we get permission from the university to get our students moved in early, have all their rooms set up, so that guess what? On move-in day for freshmen, our students aren't trying to, you know, go to Walmart and, you know, put their sheets on their bed. They're ready. Their rooms are done. They've ran their errands. So what can they do? They can focus solely on meeting new students, meeting parents. Can you imagine? Let's say you're from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and you come to the University of Oklahoma, all right? And you're moving in as a freshman. And you pull up and, you know, here you see these 4 or 5 upperclassmen sitting out in the parking lot. And they meet you at your car. They introduce themselves, say, hi, man, we would love to help. Free labor. We're not going to take a tip. Yeah, it's 137 degrees out. I mean, we want to help. They grab your refrigerator and your huge entertainment center and your TV and your good-looking clothes, and they go up the flights of stairs and put you in your room. And on the way, you know, that new student walks by their room. And he sees the doors open, and they see this ice chest sitting out there full of cold Dr. Pepper, cold water, you know, a little music, you know, kind of coming out, you know, and kind of peek in the room, and it looks cool, you know what I mean? It's not a first-year room. These are guys that have been here for a while. They've refined it. You know, this is a happening place. Can you see just that first impression you've had on that new student? Wow. These guys are servants. They were polite. They were kind. They got their act together. I really want to get to know these people. That's what we really try to encourage our upperclassmen to do. Getting there early and planning activities, helping people move in, offering free drinks, homemade cookies or brownies, you know, for people that are moving in and sweaty and mom and dad are arguing with each other and little sister's going nuts, you know, trying to find the fire alarm. And you can really encourage a family. And then they come in and sit on your couch, get cooled off, get something to drink, catch their breath as you help and serve them. Number three, very quickly, make it your goal to introduce yourself to everybody on the floor. Now look, I struggle. I really struggle with people I don't know. By nature, I'm very shy, very timid, and I am not comfortable talking with people I don't know. My tongue swells up in my mouth. I've got a speech impediment. I start stuttering. I just, you know. How many of you all like me? Okay? It's okay. You know, God loves us. You know what you need to do? Don't find another person like me to go introduce yourself to people with. Because then the two of you all will look weird. You find that person that's lightning in a bottle. And you go, for me, it's my wife. I'll never forget. I think it's my junior year. Jen was a sophomore. And we were helping people move in before school started. And I'd been moving people in all morning. Now, I can work. I can work hard, you know. And so I've been carrying refrigerators up and down flights of stairs and microwaves. And I was sitting down there in the lounge just trying to let my back rest. And I was dying. You know, I was worn out just emotionally trying to talk to people I didn't know. That just drains me. I was just kind of collapsed on this couch. I kind of opened one eye. I see my wife coming through. Back then, my girlfriend. She didn't know that I saw her. She was tour guide. She was just strolling through. She had like 20 girls. I'm not exaggerating. She had 20 freshman girls with her and their mothers. And they were just moving through this dorm. And Jen's pointing out this. And here's that. And there's this. And she was just like, you know, Julie from the Love Boat. You know? She was... You're probably a little bit, you know, ahead of your time there. But, you know, she was in her element. She's meeting people and connecting and answering questions and engaging. And I was just like, God, what is that? You know? Find somebody like her. Guys, find somebody that is really comfortable in talking and go with them. And that'll help you a lot. And if you're like Jen, you might need to have someone like me just to be a counterbalance. Okay? So you don't start a revolution and take them somewhere, you know? So you might need a little grounding, okay? That's okay. Number four. Remember, it's now or never. I mean, honestly, everything I've heard, and I've talked to a lot of godly men around the country that are trying to have a dorm ministry, and everybody will tell you, you've got about a 3, maybe a 4-week window to reach those new students. Now, God's sovereign, okay? And, you know, in His mercy, and you're faithful to pray, and you'll reach